Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 24th chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. People hear that we went to Germany during Oktoberfest, but we didn't go to Oktoberfest, and they think that's kind of crazy. But my wife doesn't drink beer, we don't like crowds, and that's actually why we went to Germany a year after the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. They got things all gussied up for us, and then the crowds left. So we went to Worms, stayed at Luther's monastery in Erfurt, climbed up Wartburg Castle, spent 4 days in Wittenberg, stayed at the Luther Hotel, toured the homes of Luther and Philip Melanchthon, the educator of the Reformation. Other things, went to church at St. Mary, the mother church of the Reformation, and at the castle church. I got my picture taken in front of the door where Martin nailed the 95 Theses, the thing that got it all started. And that's actually where lies the earthly remains of Martin Luther. At the castle church, right there in front of the pulpit, the Europeans do that a lot. They dig a hole right there in the church, and they plant the man. It's a very simple resting place for Martin Luther. Just a simple tomb on top of a plate, and on top of that plate, this inscription. Here lies buried the body of Martin Luther, doctor of sacred theology. He died in the year of Christ 1546 on February 18 in his paternal city of Eisleben at the age of 63 years, 2 months, 10 days. Next up, go on to the Holy Land, but we will not be visiting the final resting spot of Jesus. We will not be visiting that. Luke says that they were perplexed. They were perplexed. It's the feeling you get when it's time to break out the mower and you go out to the shed to mount the ZTR. You open the door to the shed and the mower's not there where it always is. It's not there. Or you walk into the kitchen and there's a big hole where the refrigerator had been sitting for the last 14 years, but it's not there. The refrigerator's not there. Or you come here this morning and all the pews are gone. They weren't looking for a refrigerator or a mower. They were looking for a body, the one they had put into that hole in the ground not that long ago. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which had been prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. They were perplexed. They were perplexed. The dictionary definition of that word is to be at a loss mentally, to have no way out, to have no possible explanation coming to mind. I'm pretty sure this is my shed. I'm pretty sure this is my kitchen, and that's where the refrigerator is supposed to be. I'm pretty sure this is the right hole in the ground, the one we saw him being placed into not that long ago. They transitioned from perplexed quickly to frightened. Look, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. They were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground, perplexed, now frightened. So in adult Bible class on Sunday morning, we've been studying 1 Corinthians this year, an interesting book, interesting flock, those first century Corinthians. Among other things, we have discovered that the Corinthian women were supposed to wear a veil to church, but it's okay. You don't have to. You don't even have to wear a lid. We found out also that Jesus did not look like Fabio. He had short hair. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Like this, he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For as by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many." And he goes on to talk about the foot and the hand and the like. And he's talking about you. He's talking about you who are the body of Christ. Different people. Different skill sets and the like. A lot of different people, one body, the Christian church. And we looked at that and other places in the New Testament where similar language is used, that metaphor of the body of Christ, and that metaphor is all over the place. It was in the LWML Quarterly at our last meeting, the body of Christ. And that's very much a Christian thing. A Christian thing to speak of ourselves as the body of Jesus, who is our leader. And we kind of take that for granted, and we don't think about that very much, this idea that we are the body, the living body of Christ. Other religions don't talk that way about the body of their leader. They don't talk that way. They can't. Can't. If you want to find the final resting place for the body of Joseph Smith, founder of the LDS Mormon Church, just take a day trip along the river down to Nauvoo to the Smith Family Cemetery. You have to cross the river. Yeah, cross the river. Mary Eddie Baker, the founder of Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor science, is buried at Mount Auburn Cemetery, Massachusetts. That's where her body is, her bones. And the bones of the prophet of the religion of violence rest under a green dome in Medina. So to talk about the body of any of those founders of those religions, you really can't. It doesn't work. There are foot bones, but no foot. There are hand bones, but no hand, no eye, no ear. Those people all were stuck into the ground, as was Buddha, as was Charles Taze Russell, Jehovah's Witnesses. They all went into the ground and they stayed there. And their bodies decayed like bodies do. And to talk about, let's say, the body, the living body of Joseph Smith, you can't. You just can't. Kind of a Christian thing, isn't it? The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. Oh, that's right. She bought a new refrigerator. Those men came and took the old one away. The new one will be here this afternoon. Oh, that's right. My neighbor, the John Deere mechanic trainer, is going to sharpen the ZTR blades and the like. Oh, that's right. When we went up to Galilee, Jesus did mention something about rising from the dead. In fact, he talked about that quite often, the idea that he would go to Jerusalem and be crucified and rise from the dead on the third. Now I remember. "And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest." And it sounds kind of like those women believed, doesn't it? Like they believed. The women believed. And they told other people what they had observed. They had observed that the tomb is empty, which is at first perplexing and then frightening. But once they had it explained to them, of course, that's why Jesus is not here. He rose from the dead. Now, I remember, It's just like he said it would be. Killed, then 3 days, then why do you seek the living among the dead? Indeed, why do you seek the living among the dead? And those two things are sort of opposite, aren't they? Living, dead, dead, living, sort of opposite. I hear these days increasing alarm from people who pay attention to those kinds of things, alarm at what is called a culture of death. The culture of death that seems to be gaining traction in our country. 20th anniversary of Columbine this week. A lot of people thought a lot of the wrong things about that this week. They almost celebrated that anniversary of Columbine. I'm one who pays attention to those kinds of things, and I am alarmed. I am alarmed. After 2,000 years of this Christian culture of life that is part and parcel of Christianity, much of our world seems to be returning to the vomit, to use Jesus' metaphor, returning to the vomit, the pagan world from which we came. The pagan world. We don't think much about it. We don't see much of it. The pagan world is a dark world. It's a dark world. A world of immorality. A world of every man for himself. Death all around. Death almost celebrated. Infanticide means the killing of infants. And in the Greco-Roman pagan world, it was done as a matter of course, especially to those infants who were not perfectly formed. And families with more than one girl were rare in those times. Polybius says infants might simply be abandoned. And that means just what it sounds like. Abortion was legal, accepted, and frequent. Humans, including children, were often sacrificed to the pagan gods, who were thought to like the taste especially of children. And the taking of one's own life was acceptable, and the elderly were often taken out into the countryside and left there. They were seen as takers, not givers to society, no use anymore. Culture of death. Then comes Jesus, who says things like, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And he practiced what he preached. He stared death in the face on Good Friday. Then he stared death down, rising from the dead. Indeed, why do you seek the living among the dead? And he lives. And he lives forever. And we and you are the living body of Christ. Following the lead of people like Jesus, the apostles, and the women at the tomb, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and brings life to all. And knowing that, of course, we tell people at home, at work, and the like, and we send out missionaries to preach the gospel. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Another very Christian thing, why we do that. Because we want people who are dead in their trespasses and sins, who are living in a culture of death, to have those sins forgiven and to live eternally, because we bring a culture of life and we get that from Jesus. We value human life, all human life. Critics of the pro-lifers accuse us of caring more about the unborn than we do for the born, and that's a lie. That's a lie. Orphanages, hospitals, including for the mentally ill, nursing homes, all invented by Christians to take care of our own first. And what astounded the pagans was that after we took care of our own, we took care of them too. A culture of life. Lutheran Hospital in Moline was started by Lutherans, financed and run by Lutherans for Lutherans. But when the first Methodist showed up, well, we're not going to turn him away. And what about the person who makes no claim to be a Christian? Bring it on in. Bring it on in. And you would say the same thing about Catholic hospitals, Presbyterian hospitals, and the rest. a culture of life. A culture of life that we get from Jesus, our risen Savior, our Lord, our living Lord. Next up, the Holy Land, and we will not be visiting the resting place of the body of Jesus like we did Luther's resting place. We won't be looking for the living among the dead. We may go to the tomb where his body had been, haven't gotten that far yet, but we won't be visiting the resting place of the body of Jesus. That living body, after it rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and that's where the body of Jesus is now located, in heaven. You don't go to the Holy Land to visit the body of Jesus. You can visit the tomb of Jesus, we know where it is, but the body is not of Jesus is not there. To seek the body of Jesus at the tomb of Jesus would be to seek the living among the dead. These days, after the ascension of the body of Jesus into heaven, we don't go anywhere to find the body of Jesus. He comes to us. He comes to us. In with and under the bread and wine, he comes to us. And this perplexes many Christians, especially in America, where they tend to focus on self and talk about my faith rather than on Jesus and where he is located. John Calvin, contemporary of Luther, genesis of all the problems in Protestantism, said that if you want to get to Jesus in the sacrament of the altar, you have to, by faith, ascend to heaven, and that's where you find Jesus, by going to heaven. You do the traveling. Actually, it's sort of the opposite. Jesus is the one who does the traveling. The living Jesus comes down to us in, with, and under the bread and wine. The living Jesus comes bringing not a culture of death, but a culture of life. And in coming here this morning, you also seek the living Jesus among the living, and here you find him. The living Jesus comes today, his living body present for you, his living body, the body of Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.